Let's now draw near to our God in prayer as we ask for his blessing on his word. Let's pray. O Lord, with the psalmist we say this morning, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Lord, you have gathered us together once again as congregation and family, as visitors, and that we have been brought once again into your presence. We thank you for this day, and we pray that you would be with us. Grant to us what we need this morning to hear your word, that we would take to heart the meaning of the passage that we're about to look at. May we grow in our faith and knowledge, and bless your servant to proclaim that word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read from verses 22 to 33. And for those who are visiting with us, we're doing a series through this section of Scripture on the family. Anytime we have a baptism, we return to this section of Scripture as we continue to consider what it says to us in its various parts to the family. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Hear now God's holy word. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And that concludes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Once again, we'll be taking our teaching from Ephesians chapter 5, that passage that we just read. And once again, to point out that this is applicable not just to women, but to all of us. If you're not a wife and may never be, you can still benefit. As men need to know the truth, elders need to know the truth in order to bring God's word to counsel, to bear. So don't tune out this morning. This is the word of God. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the theme of this text and of this next sermon is one that could be misunderstood. Or it could be thought of as being a bit of a old-fashioned idea. In other words, it goes against the grain of modern culture. It may be thought of as not as palatable to the modern woman. And hence we have the counterattacks, the objections, and the influence of the world on the church. Now, what can our answer be to all of this? Well, our answer should be in two different ways. For one, the Scripture should be our authority. We stand on what they say. And we should never approach this apart from any other source. You know, we shouldn't be just looking to this author or to this school of thought as our final authority, but it's always the Word of God, which we're seeking to do through this series and bringing across the truth of what the Word says. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's telling us how we ought not to let the world to tell us what to think. J.B. Phillips, which is a more paraphrased translation of the New Testament, does a good job on this particular verse. It goes this way, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity." And we can apply that verse to this morning's message. We ought to let the Word of God transform us, to teach us by the Holy Spirit. And it should also be pointed out that the submission that's spoken of here in Ephesians 5 in no way diminishes the wife. As we said last time, this is not a matter of lack of equality. We pointed out that in the relationship in the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son are equal in persons, but they have a different role. They have a different function. The Son of God submits to the Father. The Father doesn't submit to the Son. That doesn't mean that Jesus is not equal to the Father. And so it's true for the wife in her relationship to her husband. A husband is called to responsible authority and to loving leadership. And so as we continue in this passage, hear God's word under the theme, the wife's role, and we'll look at this passage with 3 points. First of all, submission is to be true of every Christian. Secondly, submission is to be spiritually motivated. And thirdly, submission is to be loving and willing. So first of all, submission is to be true of every Christian. One thing that we ought to note is that the command to submit in verse 22 is added in our English translation because it is understood. It's understood from the verse before, verse 21, where it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submission is very much an attitude. Christians aren't to be bossy or busybodies, making it their business to rule everyone else's life. We're not to be bullies in that way. We instead are to be humble enough to count others better than ourselves and put the interest of others before our own, following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 about that, when he was writing to the Philippians, and he's telling them, have the mind of Christ. Do not look out for your own interests, but for the interests of others. And so there is to be this mutual submission, as we would say. Mutual submission that we're to have for one another. But it's equally true that God calls us to be submissive to those who are over us. And that submission is seen in the Bible in a variety of different ways. We spoke already of God the Son submitting to His Heavenly Father, a role that He played in this life when He came into the world. We're also called to submit to God, as James 4 speaks of that. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then James says, therefore, submit to God. And so if you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian and don't submit to God, well, you fail in your calling. We're called to submit to Him. We're to submit to governing authorities. Romans 13 speaks about that. Even when it may test our patience sometimes. And the same is true of our relationship with the authorities in the church. We must obey our elders. Hebrews 13 speaks about that. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Why? Because they watch out for your souls and must give an account to the Lord for that. And even in those places, and even those who fill those places of authority and honor in the Christian community, where fellow believers are called to show respect and to submit to, they don't earn their respect by being overlords. 1 Peter 5 says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you and serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And so this is what Ephesians 5 is speaking about in that same vein of thought. In the same way that we're to show submission to one another, the Apostle Paul says that wives are to submit to their husbands. Now, some might wrongly come to the conclusion that this is culturally conditioned. In other words, this is a command that we interpret as part of the past culture, and it doesn't apply to today. And yet this is not a culturally conditioned text. It's true that there are cultural aspects of the Bible, and they may play some role in how we interpret them today, but that's not the case here. This is a non-reversible command. Why do we say it's a non-reversible command? Because it's based on creation and based on redemption. In Genesis 2 verse 18, we read that God made Adam a helper comparable to him. He was given her to be a helper. Man was also created first and then woman. Man was created as the image and glory of God. Woman as the glory of man. And yet they were made one flesh. There's an equality of being. There's a union of being, even though they're two people. And thus it is the wife's duty to submit to her husband, as their relationship is an example of Christ and the church. It's a picture of the love that Christ has for His bride, the church, and laying down His life for her. And just consider the scope of Scripture. This is what we find in the New Testament again and again. The apostle rooting his teaching in creation as well as in redemption. He recognizes that there is an equality between husband and wife, but he recognizes a difference in function. Paul uses that same kind of terminology in at least five of the letters that he wrote. We think even of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3 verse 1, who says, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. So we can't draw the conclusion that this is culturally conditioned, especially in light of the consistent teaching of the Bible. Note that wives are instructed three times within this passage to subject their priorities to their husband's authority. That teaching is spread through all of Paul's letters and echoed by other apostles and rooted and grounded in the Old Testament. And so, we see that this is not a matter of lack of equality. There's just a difference in role. And that brings us to what we see here secondly, and that is that submission is to be spiritually motivated. It's to be spiritually motivated. Verse 22 says that they are to be submissive as to the Lord. What that means is that their desires should be to please their Lord. This is what the Lord calls you to do. And that gives real motivation. It's never an easy thing to follow what the Word of God teaches. As the old Adam is in all of us. We all struggle to carry out the calling that God has given to us. We have the flesh to contend with. And you may clash with what the Word of God is saying, but this is still the calling that God gives. This is our Christian duty. It's part of our calling to follow what the Bible says about this. No matter how difficult it might be for the wife, no matter how difficult she might be, no matter how ornery the husband is, there's still a Christian calling that we're to fulfill. It's God's calling on our lives. Now we might ask, how can we do this? And the simple answer to that is, do we really love the Lord? Do we really want to do what He calls us to do? That should be our motivating desire. You're to do it as to the Lord. Just as we're called to do everything as to the Lord. God here is getting at the heart. God is concerned about the heart. We're to do things from a heart that's been made clean before God. 1 Peter 3 says again, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, this, of course, is something that we can never do on our own. If we're to rely on our own strength, then we could never be of any good. This power to follow the Lord comes from the Holy Spirit. Just think of the context that we have here in Ephesians 5. In a few verses before this, verse 18, we read, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to carry out your calling. How does the Holy Spirit do this? Well, we know that it's not a feeling. You know, it's not when we feel chills going up and down our spine, or when the hair is standing on our head. That's not the way that the Holy Spirit works. Holy Spirit works in us to obey God's Word. It's in the very practical things. When parents teach their children, when husbands love their wives, when they do what the Lord says, this is what the Spirit does for us. We do believe that there are difficulties in the Christian life, and we teach that being a Christian is not easy. It's a hard thing to go against our own sinful natures. We do struggle against the flesh. But we have the power to fight against that. And that comes to us by the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful blessing. And it's what makes all the difference in the world when it comes to being a faithful wife by God's grace. The grace of God and the power of the Spirit bring about the fruit of obedience and the blessing that that comes with that. I love what Sinclair Ferguson writes on these verses. He says, marriage is not a recipe for the subjugation of a woman, but a blueprint for her true freedom in a healthy, loving relationship with her husband. Best of all, it means that in our marriage, in home life, the wonder, power, beauty, holiness, and transformation of the gospel can be seen. And that's what's so special today about the baptism of little Emmeline. She's been born to parents who are committed Christians. She's been given the blessing of a Christian home. She's within the healthy, loving relationship that's there. That's not a small thing. Yes, there will be bumps and rough patches. It won't always be smooth sailing. We do deal with a sinful nature. It's in all of us. But God has called Jake and Laurel to this very wonderful calling to be faithful parents, and He will equip them to do this by His Holy Spirit. And little Emmy also will receive the sign and seal of baptism, which is a sign of the cleansing that comes through Christ's blood. A sign of God's faithfulness, and also of the Holy Spirit's promise to work in her heart and to help her understand and receive the promises that will be given to her, extended to her by God's grace. What a blessing that is. What a blessing indeed. And it brings us to what we see here in our third point, and that is that submission is to be loving and willing. And that comes out in verse 23. It says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." The church is subject to Christ. And so must a wife be subject to her husband. Paul's using a comparison here. We don't see that any more clearly than when we think of our relationship to the Lord. Think of that relationship that we have to Christ. Does the church resent that? Does the church complain about this? You ever hear the church say, "I really wish that Christ wasn't the head of the church. I wish that we didn't have Him ruling over us. That's terrible." Grumble, 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 complain, complain, complain. No, we don't hear that at all. It's for that reason that we rejoice. The church is excited about this, that we are under Christ. He loves the church, and He cherishes it. And we wouldn't want it any other way, would we? And so Paul's reasoning in Ephesians 5 is, let the wife willingly and joyfully be submissive to her husband. Since Christ is the head of the church, so a husband is head of his wife. The submission here is particularly voluntary. You know, just to give an example of this, when a young man proposes to a young lady and the young lady says yes, she's voluntarily placing herself under his headship if she's a Christian lady. And desires to do what the Lord says. She thus accepts the headship of her husband. And that's why this has some application for the husband as well. Because the more like the Lord Jesus Christ that you are, the easier it will be for your wife to submit. That's certainly true. I was reading last week of a Christian woman saying those exact words. She said, "I can understand why so many women struggle with what the Bible says about submission, but I have never struggled with submitting to my husband because He lets me know how much He respects me." When a Christian woman knows that she's respected and honored and loved, then it's easier for her. This doesn't mean, the submission doesn't mean that the husband should expect his wife to follow his every whim and desire. A husband cannot expect her to sin. This has to be lawful. We must obey God rather than man. Doesn't mean that a wife cannot express her opinion and speak it. Doesn't mean that she cannot disagree with him. Doesn't mean that she cannot develop her own unique gifts and abilities. A wise husband will seek the counsel of his wife. She will be a blessing to him in that way. And he will see the blessing of his own unique gifts and abilities as they arise from her walk with the Lord. So often the temptation for the man is to use that place of authority as a bit of a power trip. He's concerned for himself when he expects his wife to follow his every whim. And it's equally true of the woman. Her temptation is to use the power of words and emotions to diminish a husband's influence so that she has control of the home. And just to give an example of this, one minister and his wife lived in an apartment that had very paper-thin walls, and so you could hear the neighbors. And at night, you could hear them fighting, and you could hear the arguments that were going on there. And as this one minister and his wife put it, they were lying in bed one night, listening to it once again, and they sometimes would wonder to each other, why does she taunt him so? She knows that when she does that, she's going to get him even more upset. And there's a reason for this. It's because man is tempted to dominate the relationship with his strength, where a woman is tempted to control with shame. For man, it can be intimidation for a woman by a look, cutting remark, an accusation, or some embarrassing reminder that may seek to diminish their husband so that he becomes less sure of himself and more under her control. Well, the teaching of the Apostle Paul here has no place for this kind of power play. Instead, he commands men to love their wives specifically and willingly, and commands women who are subject to be subject to their husbands. That's why we always have to be careful to respect one another in the marriage. Even when it comes to joking around, you know, it can seem very fun sometimes, you know, to put down the other person, but we don't want to belittle in public, even in jest, because it can be very easy to use ridicule to get an edge over another. But do you see what a difference it is when there is that loving care of the husband and the submission of a wife? Too few Christian women seem to know how much their husbands need their respect. So helpful. Especially in moments of life when a man goes through a time of failure, or when he may be the unpopular one, because he's taken a stand for something right and everyone thinks he's wrong. What a blessing it is when a wife can stand beside her husband and show respect and honor and help him. It means everything. So what a blessing it is to follow what the Bible teaches in regard to this. Blessed is that man, and blessed is that woman who seeks to implement this teaching in their lives. Amen. Let's come before our God in prayer. Gracious God in heaven, we bow before you and thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you for giving us hope in your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that there is hope in him at all times, and that through him we have life, and through him we have redemption. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing that we've had to consider this passage bit by bit. And Lord, as we have considered this portion of it, we ask that you would give to us what we need to follow it, to be given the Holy Spirit to obey you and to follow you, to do all things as to you. Grant us your blessing and be with us in the remainder of this service and the remainder of this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.